Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute. I'm Tracy.
Can you see him hanging around my door? Bye bye, the syndicator. Can you see him hanging around my door? Stand and watch me. Every day I leave home. Backstabber, have almost ruined my home. Almost broke up my honeymoon. Don't got that pain yet lately. Can't tell my wife. I do no more, no more, no more. How much? Try, baby. Try before I go. You got to try, baby. Got to try. Wanna try before I go. Now, baby. You're making a kind of sense to me, baby. Making a kind of sense to me. I walk. Back through the door again, my suitcase in my hand. I walk back in that door again, with my suitcase in my hand. Didn't make any sense to me. I threw that baby.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here in Hawaii. A lot of things going on, and I was waiting for a phone call. I've gotten a couple from people out in Waianae side. At Pokai Bay, there's been an apparent sewage spill But there are no signs posted. I haven't confirmed. I'm unable to confirm right now that there is such a spill, but citizens out there from the community call and reporting. And if you're listening, contact the fire department, first of all, because there are a lot of people that swim there and recreate early morning and exercise, and the dolphins and what have you. So contact the fire department, and because it does constitute an emergency. Children breathing and living and sleeping, swimming in the sewage or untreated sewage or what have you, wouldn't be good. And, you know, hepatitis and all those other good things that associated with in the pathogen. So hopefully there are some signs to be posted later, or the city wastewater branch should be out there by now, or should have notified, because the alarms would have gone off to let them know that there was a spill. So if you're listening, again, just contact the fire department, 911, because the office, I don't know why the city hadn't sent someone out there, and maybe they know better than we do, and maybe there was no concern, but they need to contact or put something out there and notify the people, because they are calling and have concerns. So stay safe. Don't get in the water until it's confirmed that it's clean or what have you. So another unfortunate situation. And it just so happened we were going to be talking about wastewater this morning, and some of the woes or the creepy little things that are happening within the city wastewater management department. And, of course, there are quite a few other things we're going to talk about. And they are, you know, that there is an audit proposed, and this audit, and we're going to be talking throughout the day, the next 2 hours. There's $100 million calling into question as to the whereabouts of it and how it was allowed to allotted out to certain companies. This is in the Environmental Services branch. You know, the one that told you that the 90 and 80, 110-year-old ladies were lifting the manhole covers and letting stormwater run down the drain. That's what caused the Waikiki. Well, it seems that, once again, another flub. And then we're going to talk about something that I guess it just depends on the details and who's interested. You might also know about the $16 million obligation that the city has, and this came out in May of last year, but the taxpayer, you, me, will be spending $16 million. We're required to, as a part of a consent decree, an agreement that the city made with the EPA and the United States Department of Justice, to pay $16.1 million to build a solar building at Campbell Industrial Park, adjacent to the H-Power. And there's some interesting goings-on, some goings-on there, my friends, that always presenting themselves as apparently, I'm going to call it criminality, because these are educated people, and they know damn well you can't make this number of mistakes constantly, repeatedly. You know, a mistake is one thing, but when they tend to present themselves over and over and over, and these are different scenarios. So my conclusion is just, we just got some corrupt people running the mayor's office, the environmental services office, and all, and they should be more transparent. But before I get to that, you can I'll be on regularly now on Monday evenings from 6 to 7 on the John Nolan Show. And so that'll be going on for a while until things change, or we're, you know, but tune in. And John has a great talk show on sports, and also community events and what have you. So 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, feel free to call in at that time, and if you got issues, and John welcomes call-ins, and so we're just partnering up to do a few things and get the word out. And, of course, you can get all of this on carolcox.com. We'll post it up, and you can listen to older shows or read older stories or what have you, see what's going on. And tonight I'm being recognized by Hawaii Thousand Friends for Male Unsung Hero of the Year. So I'm looking forward to that, and we're all out here struggling, trying to make a difference. And if you were to ask me 1,000 times, why do I do it? I only have one answer, because I live here. And as John Nolan says, 'cause we can. No. But we all should take an attitude now, because I was driving in and thinking to myself, we have terrorists, and we preach about terrorists, and we are constantly, it's like we wake up in the morning, they're feeding us this message about terrorism, and we go to bed, message about terrorism, and we take a tea break, a coffee break, we're going to hear something about the terrorists and how they're going to minimize our lives and the quality of our lives and the threats and their threat to us, and they're going to cut our heads off. And I got to thinking, that's a horrible thing to be under the influences of terrorism and to experience that and have to live in that climate. Then I got to thinking, it's all about humanity and what they're doing. They're trying to express or invoke or provoke or do something because of their beliefs and on and on. And I'm thinking, what difference does it make when we're aggressively keeping out of fighting the terrorists, but here you as a citizen, you work hard for your life, livelihood, and then you are compelled or forced to pay a tax that then gets squandered, to pay a tax for a rail that you really didn't want, to pay a tax that you can't afford, so you have to sell your property and move out to Mississippi, where they're fluent in Hawaiian down there. And I'm thinking the destruction of the Hawaiian families, of the Hawaiian culture, and the parallels. I'm not saying terrorism is all right. I'm just thinking aloud. And then with terrorism, you have no face to talk to. You can't get any response from them. They just do you in, and 'cause they got their message they want to get on you, you know. But then, can you call your politicians and ask them to stand up for you or speak out for you or speak up for what's right or operate and carry themselves in a way that they shouldn't be stealing and taking money from big business and squandering our freedoms? What is the difference? The orange suit and the knife? Because as I see it now, the American way is deteriorating based on some of the behavior, not all of it now, but a great portion of it is being influenced or degraded by poor management, unlawful management, cronyism, nepotism, no ethics, all of those things. And I'm going to lay some of this out today and share with you. So, again, if you didn't hear me right, when you're speaking with a Mississippi accent and have a throat lozenge in your mouth, it kind of might come out crazy. I'm not saying that terrorism is okay, so don't bother to go confusing yourself with that or thinking I need an explanation. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But at the end of the day, if your quality of life, as we knew the American dream, as we see the American dream, as we were part of that, and now all of a sudden it's been squandered, and we're seeing people sleeping on the sidewalks and being harassed and chased and what have you, and then those same people that are managing the harassment and moving the people around and failing to build affordable homes and reporting that they have millions and millions, upwards of $700 million in federal funds that they've obtained but never spent them. You make terrorism look like it's elementary, because ultimately it's about human life, human values. It's about quality of life. It's about quality of the environment. It's all of that. So who is really should be we be concerned with? Why don't we see the same amount of dosage prescribed to us in the mornings about corrupt officials in the state of Hawaii, in the city of Hawaii? Why don't we have the news telling us that, but instead they come in and we're going to talk stories with the mayor? Have any of you been able to talk stories with the mayor? He's been on TV quite often talking story. So terrorism takes a back seat because they may be trying to get to us and influence us, but the people that is managing our affairs, we can't even speak to them. We don't know where they are. We get public relations people. We get PIO people, public information officers. We ask for documents, and they tell us, nope, $4,000. You know, this kind of nonsense. You wake up in the morning on a clean water day, and then next thing you can't go to the beach because there are sewage spills, and on and on and on. But just a little thought. 524-1080 is a number if you care to call in and talk about that or anything related to this. When you call up, if you're going to change the subject, let's transition. Don't just call up and say, I want to talk about this and then go for it, because there are some people like myself who are kind of slow at processing. So what were we talking about 2 minutes ago? I thought we were, you know, let's avoid that. But you're welcome to call up and talk, 524-1080. And again, at Polkai Bay, a report of a sewage spill from one of the plants out there, sewage treatment plants, and wastewater. So be careful, extremely careful. Stay out of the water until it's confirmed or what have you. Now, in May of this year, 2015, and I'm going to, so that, and by the way, all of these documents, I've gone to the length of posting the consent decree that the city signed with the EPA and the Department of Justice regarding the violation, and this violation stems from this agreement, this consent decree stems from the refusal or the failure of the city and county of Honolulu to install a gas collection system, basically we'll call it that, a GCCS. And when a landfill is closed, it may be closed to receiving any more trash, but the trash that's there, that has been placed there, is deteriorating. So you have vinyl chlorides, you have methanes, you have chromium, you have all kinds of gases that present a problem. And we'll talk about some of them, and benzenes and, you know, and methanes. And a lot of them are carcinogenic and contributing to global warming, it's suspected. So you were required to, the city was required to put in this gas system. And the problem was, it's actually called a gas collection and control system, or GCCS. Well, the city failed to put that in. And the landfill went on from 1969 to 1997. So all of that time, and we brought some other stuff to you about the Kapaa quarry landfill, the Kapaa landfill. And so that thing is laying there breathing, all of these gases. And so the EPA said, well, look, city, we're going to punish you. And so, as usual, they enter to a consent decree basically saying, yeah, we're wrong, and what can we do? And the EPA, in its kindest and gentlest way, because this is a kind and gentle nation we have live in here, told the city and county of Honolulu, basically, go ahead and if you plead guilty, in a sense, we won't call it guilty, if you agree with this and you consent to this consent, then we will require you to build a building on land in Barbers Point or in Camel Industrial Park that the city owns adjacent to the H power plant. And the In doing so, then you will put solar panels on the building. Now, this building that they're building is going to be about 3 blocks long. I'm fudging the numbers, but this is an approximate 3-acre property. And you can get the greater details at carolcox.com and look at the consent, look at the application that the city put in, and not the city, but Covanta put in. And in this building, they're going to place on top of the building some of the solar panels. And we'll talk about the generation of the megawatts they anticipate on producing. So where is that money coming from to put that $16,000,000 in a building? Where's the money coming from? I don't know the process or the requirements if the city council has to approve it. I don't know. Apparently, they know better than we do. But again, in May, this was announced now. And $16 million, but I failed to tell you that also the $16 million, they will have to pay $875,000 in a civil penalty. Now, this is for lack of doing a job that they know that they're required to do under the Clean Air Act. They know that. The city knows that in order to operate the landfill. So, again, this goes back to the illustrious Mufi Hanneman, our grand leader who pops in and out once in a while, like the Pillsbury popping fresh, wanted to be our mayor, wanted to be our governor, and wanted to be something. And part of it was he didn't put it in. And remember, he had that argument with the EPA, and he stood there and declared that he's going to, whether it was clean water or clean air, you know, just, and remember at Waimanalo Gulch, there were problems with the gases up there. So we have a terrible record when it comes to leadership and people that we vote for, who proclaim to be concerned with being green and claim to be concerned with the future self-sustainable or sustainable, self-supporting energy and what have you. And we're working toward that in 2040. But with these kinds of revelations that present themselves, can we really trust? Do we need to really make it more transparent? And say to hell with the rhetoric and get on with the doing the business of the people? I don't know. But this is, now, the only media that I could find and recall doing a story about this solar and the consent decree was in Hawaii News Now, which occurred May 12th, and this was Jim Mendoza. And I just some excerpts from it kind of makes you sick, because you can, if you read this the way I read it, you just say this is just another invitation to go screw up something else, because this is what we do now. You know, you can get your throat cut and they'll give you a Band-Aid and say to fix it. And thanks to the EPA, that grand poo-poo of enforcement, right? So Dean Higuchi of the EPA in this article says that, quote, you need that gas control system, gas capture system, to make sure those things are not escaping into the atmosphere. Environmental Protection Agency spokesperson Dean Higuchi. Brilliant stuff, man. I mean, you make you want to write that down and repeat it wherever you go. You know, it's just so brilliant. The city was ordered to have a gas capture system operating at the site by 2002, but it didn't have one until 2013, right? Now enters Mayor Caldwell, but remember, he was the managing director. He's been on the scene for a while, but he had some beautiful words of wisdom, and we should quote him too, because this is knockout stuff, man. Mayor Caldwell said that the delay was on prior administrations, and he made it a priority to comply with the federal order. The EPA Tuesday announced the city will have to pay $17 million settlement. And then, let me, I don't have any drums here, but I wished I had to strike up the band. And here's Mayor Caldwell again. You see, his response to this $17 million settlement was, quote, "This is a type of fine that comes back and really pays dividends," Caldwell says. So if you can interpret that for me, and I'm not being facetious or specious, I'm just sitting here going, oh, really, this is a type of fine that comes back and really pays dividends. Where's the logic in that? A type of fine. Now, it wasn't, you know, this is a type of investment, you know. In other words, you see how a politician is suited to spend anything? You understand? And it's just twist and turn. And there's absolutely no way can a fine come back to pay dividends. So is it logical to say, well, we just won't do it because, see, it's going to help the economy, and so we'll just break the law and pollute the air. And, you know, global warming, it's a problem. Greenhouse gases, it's a problem. But it's a better investment for us to just let it happen because they're going to fine us and then it's going to be good for the economy. Going to pay dividends. Why not just do the job and implement, put in place as you're required by federal law to have a gas collection system? But this is what we have. I think it falls under the definition of leadership. You see, good leadership. You have such wisdom that, and you know, so make sure you write this down now because this is good stuff. You could use this in any setting when you know somebody's getting arrested and just tell them, don't worry, bro. You're getting arrested and you're getting fined $500,000. It's going to be good. It's really going to pay dividends, so don't worry. You know, I mean, you break the law, there's no dividends. You don't pay no dividends. What it says is that you don't have any respect for the law or the environment, and you need to go back to the class where they teach you ethics and values and concerns for the environment. That's why we have these systems. It's not about getting caught or working out a deal. It's about doing what's right up front. And so, you know, as if that wasn't enough, you see, he goes on to tell Jim Mendoza that, quote, "I look at it as a win-win," Caldwell says. "We're becoming more sustainable. With this money, we're becoming greener." Well, I guess if one got $16 million, that would make you green in some kind of way, and make me green with envy, or green because I'm about to throw up, or something. It's really crazy. And why am I sitting here speaking like this? I want you to take some ownership in this, because these are the people that we vote for. See, this is why I always poke at the making the beef stew and having a coffee hour and shaking hands with the mayor and he kiss your baby, or the politicians. But the real stuff, guys, we need to take a step back and ask, what are we voting for? Not who are we voting for, but what? And so it looks like a win-win situation. We broke the law. The city has broken the law, and we've polluted, and we've allowed this thing to go on and on and on and contribute to global warming. And you know what? It's a win-win situation. Really. So, and again, this brilliant EPA spokesperson, quote, Nadine Higuchi, "I look at it, and the settlement looks at the entire Oahu County, which is a city and county of Honolulu," Higuchi said. "This will benefit everyone, including the folks in Kailua." So let me get this right. You have money, operating budget, and that budget covers the compliance issues and the infrastructure of a landfill when you're running it. And you know that the law requires you, there's a closure a process of closing a landfill, and part of that closure is putting in and installing these gas management systems and leachate systems to manage water running off, and you don't want to go in the streams as we found that they were dumping in Kaiwanui Marsh. So you have the money set aside. You're supposed to demonstrate when you get the permit, and you know the conditions, and you know you're supposed to install these things and flaring the gas and capturing the gas or whatever and managing it, not letting it build up. So these are things that are required anyway. So now, how are the public going to benefit for spending, being fined $875,000, and then having to spend $16 million, and then having to use land that the city owns, which could be used for some other function, you see? Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
No, I'm sorry, just need some information. Is there a similar program tonight?
Pardon me?
Is there a Samoan program tonight?
A Samoan
program, Chief Sila.
I think there's a program on tonight, Samoan. I think about 9 o'clock.
Oh, 9 o'clock.
Uh huh.
Okay, thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Aloha. Okay. You can go to KWAI 1080AM.com and you can look for the schedule there also if you're listening still. But anyway, this entire situation, folks, is scary. And so the complaint alleges that the defendant violate the regulations of NSPS and to timely submit a design, a plan for a gas collection, and failing to timely install or operate the GCCS. The complaint further alleges that as a result of failing to timely construct and operate the GCCS, defendant admitted. Now listen to this. This is when you say, oh, this is going to, you read what the mayor says, this is going to make us greener. You know, it's like, okay. This is when you know you got the wrong people in the wrong places. And that is, defendant, the city, emitted approximately 6,875 tons of uncontrolled non-methane organic compounds, NMOCs, over the course of approximately 10 years, are comprised of volatile organic compounds and hazardous air pollutants. The complaint further alleges the defendant violated the NESHAP regulations by failing to timely comply with NSPS regulations as described in the paragraph by failing, and on. You know, and it goes on. This is a consent decree. It's still left up to the EPA. You can see them violating, and it's left up to the EPA to take an action of the Department of Justice. Whereas the parties agree that during the period of negotiation, this consent decree, defendants submitted a GCCS design plan approved by EPA for the landfill, install and commence operation. And so Caldwell tell you, well, see, I did it. I want to hurry up. No, you did it because the fines would go higher and steeper, and you wouldn't make it as mayor, and it's in your lap now. You are the managing director, so you know how it goes. The civil penalty, within 45 days after the effective date of this consent decree, defendant shall pay the sum of $875,000 as a civil penalty, together with interest accruing from the effective date of rate specified in 28 U.S.C. 1961. So what they did then, as part of this consent decree, and I love it. I mean, you're speeding down the highway and you get busted for 50 pounds of cocaine or whatever your favorite drug is that bring in you profit. And the police says, well, we got you. That's it. So look here. If you promise to buy a smaller car and haul less drugs on your hauls, we're going to just fine you half of what we could do, because normally we put you in jail and you never see the light of day. But because you were nice in agreeing to this, never mind how many people you've poisoned with that crap you've been selling already. The same thing, the city, oh, yeah, you done poisoned. You put 6,000, close to 7,000 ton of gases in the air that are harmful to human beings and the environment. But, you know, if you promise to put one in now, and we'll give you a little money. Oh, and by the way, this money that you pay is going to make you look greener.
Yeah, right.
See how stupid this whole thing sounds, and it is? This is what we have when it comes to the earth, treating the earth. And all of these guys go off to summits and go off to meetings and they talk about it. But if you look at what they're really doing, they're squandering clean air, clean water, clean land, and the right to enjoy it. And so the defendant, and see, people ask, well, why do you think they do it? And I'm going to try to demonstrate to you that even while they're caught with their hands in the cookie jar, the EPA tells them, okay, you got caught. You take half the cookies. Never mind. Take three quarters of the cookies because you know it's going to keep the people from eating and they're not going to get fat. So it's going to manage calories. That's the way the EPA thinks. So it's going to help the people some kind of way. Caldwell and other politicians are happy to accommodate, you see. And then that those cookies that he has that he was so thankful for and receiving them, and they were so nice and giving them to him for catching him with his hand in a cookie jar. Immediately, his friends around him and his contractors start to think, hey, you know, I see you got three quarters of the cookies. Yeah, yeah. Well, look, let us have the cookies and we can make some money off them. We can go back and sell them to the people that it was taken from. Does that sound like good? Yeah, but if you know, what's in it for me? Well, look, got some nice campaign donation, bruh. You know, and when you need some signs, we'll just pay for them. We'll have Kimo and Carol to pay for them, and nobody will ever know. We'll take care of all of that. And so in this situation, now get this. I'm not exaggerating, folks. This is. I'm just trying to simplify it so you can understand. Make it a little more entertaining because it's frustrating time and time again to see these behaviors presenting themselves. So, H Power is run by Covanta, and H Power is a basically waste to power burning program, right? And what you got to understand is that Covanta now, for some reason, has submitted an application along with the city wanting this building that they're going to build, you know, back to the cookies and selling them now. So instead of the mayor just building the building, voila. They come up under the mayor's administration, and I'm sure he's aware of it. They decide, well, you know what? All of the refrigerators. Now, if you guys can make the connection and connect the dots for me, please. I'm still trying to figure out how do we get from paying a fine of $16 million by building a building from photovoltaic and then connecting it to H-Power so then we can use that energy to fuel and sell to HECO and fuel the plant. But all of a sudden, the city and county of Honolulu and Covanta wants to recycle refrigerators in this building. Now, remember those cookies that the mayor gives back to his friends so they can... So Covanta is going to go into the business of processing and venting and recycling refrigerators and refrigerator gas. How do you suppose that happened when there are already contractors out there, experts, extracting the gas, and there's a program, and people, the city picks them up and haul them, except for the ones we've caught them on video, and you can see that video at carolcox.com, city workers crushing refrigerator appliances. And so much for the making us green and protecting the environment, huh? So how do you suppose that this photovoltaic process, I can see some distant relationship, but even that is questionable because it can be separate. So what is the procurement process? How did Covanta get this procurement? How did the city, did it put out any RFPs for requests for proposals to have someone manage the photovoltaic system? Or is it going to be because it's going to tap into H-Power, then therefore Covanta gets the contract and gets all that management and extends its reach? And there are concerns that have been expressed in a resolution, and I'm going to read some of that, that speaks specifically to this behavior and specifically names Covanta. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I would like to start a committee, and the name of it is They Should Be in Jail. And the first one I nominate would be Codwell, the codfish. He should be in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's pulled off on the people, on the city people, city, you know, and county people of Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
He, righteously, he's made our life worse for us, more expensive, and the future looking real bleak, city-wise.
And it's costing the taxpayers, and I can't help but think, people are struggling. They retired, or they don't have to. They've had an amount of money they knew they could manage, and all of that is being squandered. And you're wondering, why is this mass exodus to the mainland and to far places, or people to the streets? Well, and here we're giving millions. What happened to the money that they were supposed to put in the gas system in the landfill? That was money set aside for that.
Yeah. Like I say, the money just goes through like a sieve.
Yeah.
So it could be if you start it from the top, right? That's what you usually do. If you get the boss man, right, and you put him in the room and you do what you got to do to get information, he would spill every one of these little cronies that he has, you know, moving around on a little checking board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single one. But you put the pressure on him, it's 20 to life, bro, unless you start giving him some names.
Yeah, but and Department of Justice is sitting here writing up these really sophisticated consent decrees, and we got more consent decrees than we have honest people in government now.
That's what I said. We've got to start the committee. You should be in jail. You know what I mean? And the idea is that the public actually put these guys in office.
Mm-hmm.
These people that are policing us, you know, left and right, telling us one lie after another. And, you know, there's no daylight here. You know, I had to see just a couple more years of downhill slide. You know what I mean? And with this rail thing that's just sucking all the money, just a big, huge windstorm coming and suck all the money out of our pockets.
Yeah.
We can't do a darn thing about it. That's the thing that really makes me lose sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. I think we can, but again, if it's making you lose sleep at night, my point being driven home about terrorism, people that are threatened by terrorists, it impacts their lives, their sanctuary. And here we are, people that have retired or managing their money.
Being terrorized, exactly. It's the same kind of thing, but it's different person doing it.
And legally, and
it's a legal terrorist.
Like, I'm not advocating no taxes. You have to pay. We all should.
I'm willing to pay my fair share, but when they do stupid things like build a rail that's going to cost billions and billion dollars over cost.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pay for that? I am, and I didn't have no say about the overcost.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, oh, it's being built, well, you know, we got to tack on this, tack on that, and it's just going to keep on going until the thing is done.
Yeah.
So the people out there, you better put a big cold pack on your head, man, because there ain't no relief coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming, I'm telling you. Every day I read a paper, I want to go home and cry.
Yeah, well, don't cry, because they'll start charging you for that, too. You know, they'll cause you a disposal fee for tears. They'll come up with something. So be
careful.
If you do cry, go behind a tree or building or something, because this guy will remember now, you can't piss in public.
You know, eventually we're going to have to get some kind of, even a small-time committee. You know, just go once a week, you go down to City Hall, and you just walk around down there. I've picketed down in the City Hall before and stuff. You know, I've been on demonstrations in the Capitol and stuff. And, you know, that really gets them, you know what I mean? They peek out, they crack the door, and they see me out there. Oh, they're still out there, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Demonstrators, you know what I mean? Yep. They get on their nails. If we could just get up enough people to get gumption, you know what I mean, get off the fat behind, and go down there and start, you know, picketing the City Hall and say, these are our grievances.
Well,
this
it's
is what you said, and now this is what you're doing.
But you know, here's the thing. I'm getting an understanding of it. Now, the people hear this, but it's the way, like this, you heard me reading that press release, or the story, the contents of, he should have been taken to task. What do you mean this is going to make us greener? What do you mean this is going to pay dividends? You've already violated the law. You're doing this because you violated the law. How the heck can you come up with dividends?
It's not going to, negate what he's done or deviate anything. He's just all BS. Just another way to keep
it. Yeah, and so it's hard in the system now, the way it's structured and the way it's continuing to be improved upon. The public is just kept in the blind. They're told things, but they're really not told everything.
Yeah, the noose is tightening around our neck, and we don't realize it.
And we're being managed, and so I don't know. As I say, absent of the orange suit and the knife, I'm just as nervous as if I were to see ISIS coming, because you have no control. Now, you read all the emails that I get, people complaining about the rail, and here we now they're talking about one another, and they can't trust this person or that person, and the rail should go maglev, or at some point, something's going to give.
I hope so. I think eventually really, like you said, it takes one little chip and then another little chip and one block is gone and then the whole thing is weakened.
Yeah.
But I can't see it sitting up there yet with a jackhammer and starting, to nibble away at this
vacuum. Yeah. Yeah,
because you've got to remember, Caldwell's the head of the police, right?
Right.
So he can dictate to the police exactly what he wants done. And they'll just obey orders, right?
No, I don't think so. Now, I know some policemen will tell him to go pound sand. I don't think so. I don't see, because whatever he did, it has to still conform to the Constitution, number one.
Yeah, well,
and then if he had cops to go and do that, that's fine. But there's day of reckoning with that. I believe it's just that the people that are responsible is the legislators, Caldwell, and it's when it comes to city council. They're just as culpable, because though they may come out there and then, voting with reservation.
Right?
Really? Okay, what does that mean? You know what that means when they say they're voting with reservations?
I know what that means.
This is what my take is on. That they're saying, I'm voting for, I'm voting on this matter, but I have reservations from the people that have a business interest in here down at Martin's restaurant, and I'm going to get myself a 200-bottle glass of wine, and I'm going to have me a fancy steak. That's what they mean by voting with reservation in this town.
Yeah, right.
Because it makes, what do you mean? Well, you either know the system and know the facts, or you don't.
It's called collecting on your benefit. You know what I mean? Reservation. Yeah, reservation.
Yeah, I'm voting for...
Give me my drink, like you said, next week.
I'm voting with reservations. Oh, really? What restaurant is it this time? That's what should be asked.
Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish that the public would wake up and,
They are. It's
politicians that are really honest.
Yeah.
You mean, and that's a really hard word to say about politicians, is honesty. That should be the first thing that should... Forget about how much experience they had. If you're an honest person, I don't care where you school you went to, where your grade was. If you're an honest person, you're probably better than any one of them guys up there, or just as good.
You know, a lot of the politicians say, let's keep God in government. And okay, I'm good with that, but let's also hear the chant, let's get business out of government.
Yeah, thou shalt not lie, right? That would be the first. That's one of the commandments, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, all right, then. I'm going to get off of here and be back in the next hour. You're welcome to call back.
I'll talk to you later. You have a good day.
Thank you. And you doing this with reservations, I bet.
Oh, for sure. I have to. Got to cover my behind. It's a big one. Talk to you later.
Okay. Folks, what I like about being here is that I hear a lot of you say, well, you know, the media isn't telling us everything. And the media isn't... if the media isn't telling you everything, that's one thing. But you still have someone that's obligated to telling you everything. And that's your government appointees, your government electees, and we don't hold them to that. We don't demand of that. So we take the least path of resistance and go and pick on the media when you still have constraints on the government. You have some whole, you know, you can manage government. This media is business. They have no real obligation to you, but the government has obligations to you to do what's right and what's constitutionally right, what's right by legislation. Why, you know, they have to operate within certain confines, but if we don't hold them to that and demand of that and quit making stew for them and bringing your baby in and taking a selfie, oh, I got a picture of myself and Caldwell, he say everything's going to be green and going to pay dividends. I like that. Well, finish the sentence. Dividends on what? So we're held captive. I believe I'll describe it as that. And we're going to continue on this because I have... I want to share with you the resolution and talk about the recycling of refrigerant gases and why I'm concerned that there are some activities that the city is behaving in that is highly illegal. So we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show, and join me in the next hour. 524-1080 is the number. 524-1080.
Crawling king snake, and I rule my day. I'm crawling king snake, and I rule my day. I don't want nobody at my house when I'm not at home. You know you caught me crawling, baby. Your dress was very high. In my house when I'm not at home. You know you got me crawling, baby. The bed was very high. I'm gonna keep on crawling, baby. Until the day I die. Crawl again, baby. And I threw my den. Not at all.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half here. We were talking about a consent decree that the City and County of Honolulu signed with the EPA and the Department of Justice, where the requiring the City and County to build a building called the Solar Building in Camel Industrial Park, adjacent to the H-Power plant. And that will be a photovoltaic building. And in the process, they are also talking about bringing in refrigerators, all the white goods, and white goods being stoves, ovens, hot water heaters, air conditioners, and, you know, things of that nature, and especially refrigerators. And you know that refrigerators, the older ones, contain ozone-depleting gases. And so as a result of this, somehow there is this move to, in the process of building this building, I'm going to give them a little break as to, not too harsh, that Covanta gets to manage the photovoltaic area, but that's a whole different operation too, other than it's being tapped into the H-Power, in my belief. I believe that should go out for RFP, request for proposals as well. And but secondly, bringing in all of the refrigerators. So when you put out a refrigerator alongside the road, it's supposed to be picked up by bulky item. The normal process as we know it now, it's picked up, it's taken to a facility in Campbell Industrial Park, refrigerant recycling. They in turn, on the contract, remove all of the gases, and in also involved in that is there is a compressor with all wine coolers, water coolers, or those sophisticated ones, or the air conditioners. They have a little compressor, a pot, and they have oil, and that oil is to be treated as a hazardous waste, you know, with chlorine. So, chlorinated fuel oil. So you can't just bust it open, and you can't just clip the wires on the refrigerator and vent them. And then also that recycle, that material, that gas is recycled. So that's what's going on now. Now, there was an issue where the city wanted to give it to Island Recycling, and then there's been legal issues there. So what I suspect is that this is how the city plays, especially under this Carquina and the people that run ENV. They have no concerns for losing their jobs. It's clear now. You can lie to the public and do anything you want to. The mayor is just not going to go there and hold anybody accountable. You're not just not going to reward you, the public, with anything that resembles a punishment to his crew, you see, his boys or girls. So what goes on then is that they're asking for this, and then just a recap on the waste energy facility. Defendants shall install the calls to be installed the photovoltaic system at defendants' waste energy facility called the H-Power facility. The H-Power is located at 91174 Hanua Street, and defendants shall install photovoltaic modules on at least 261,857 square feet of building and open space. Area at H-Power identified in the map that they submitted. They are supposed to produce 3,089 megawatts. Defendants may use consultants and or contractors in planning and implementing the SEP, the Supplemental Environmental Project, right? This is what they do when they basically, this is supposed to be a punishment to the city. It sounded like a Christmas gift that came early. Defendant shall achieve SEP completion by operating the SEP for at least 3 years. So we're going to, the EPA, as part of their punishment, going to require the city to build this building, and it once up online, it must last for 3 years, and then voila. Nice, huh? How'd you like to be fined and get a parking ticket or driving ticket, and you get to just kiss it off and go shopping and promise that you don't park in another lot again or go over time, expire meter? See, so the energy output requirement of at least 15,056 megawatts of energy with the SEP. With regard to the SEP, defendant certifies the truth and accuracy each of the following. that all cost information provided by EPA to EPA in connection with the EPA's approval of the SEP is complete and accurate, and that defendant is in good faith estimates that the total eligible SEP costs to implement the SEP at least $16,054,974. Boy, they don't leave any detail, do they? But the whole thing just reeks of nonsense, because the damage is done, nobody gets punished, the people that are required and get paid to do their job don't do their job, and in turn pollute the environment, causes the degradation, and causes harm and put people at risk, and they get to take your money and spend it again because the government says, well, we're going to punish you, but you take their money, whom you've harmed and you were supposed to be operating on their behalf and with fiduciary responsibilities, and you didn't, but no problem, we'll work it out. So that's what's happening there. So this raises some issues with the procurement process. Why is it that Covanta is written in as suggesting that they're going to get the contract to manage the photovoltaic building? Secondly, that they're going to then take a city function of recycling, as they're required now by law, to make sure that they process refrigerators and other white goods to protect the environment and not vent the gas and the oil. So I went back, and we've talked about this particular resolution some while back, and you can find it posted at carolcox.com, but we're going to post it again for today's show. And this is basically, I'm going to share with you something from the report of the Committee on Budget, June 25th, 2012. And this is so relevant to what is occurring now. And you see, unless there's punishment and people go to jail, I don't think we'll ever get honest government. I don't believe we are going to get honest government. It's just not going to work. And especially when someone as high as the EPA and the Department of Justice sanctioned this kind of reward. You know, you screw up, we move you up, and we set you up with a better thing. So you can just go and preach to the voters that you've done good, when in fact the only reason we are in a relationship is if you did bad and didn't comply with the law. So therefore you are not worth two nickels, and you should be paying the public rather than playing the public. So here, the resolution urging the city auditor to conduct an audit of the Department of Environmental Services, wastewater contracts, and procurement practices. And I'm going to just read a little bit about the wastewater. And these are real issues, folks. And it goes, whereas the Department of Environmental Services is in charge of operating the city's wastewater and stormwater and solid waste disposal. Now, keep in mind, they're both related. They're going to speak to the same thing. We're talking photovoltaic. We're talking wastewater. Same agency run by Laura Kahakina. Whereas the environmental services is organized into five program areas: administrative environmental quality, collection system maintenance, wastewater treatment and disposal, and refuse collection and disposal. Whereas during the fiscal year of 2012 executive budget process, the council thoroughly evaluated major projects proposed by ENV and the city and other city departments in order to make sure that taxpayers' monies were spent prudently. And whereas in Mayor Peter Carlisle's proposed executive capital budget for fiscal year 2012, he included an appropriation of $26 million to plan, design, construct, inspect a second bioconvergence facility at Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant to help sustain the current plant being operated by Synagro. Now, we told you many times about Synagro. They put a $35 million plant at Sand Island, and it was supposed to take the sludge, a human waste, and then in turn dry it, and then in turn sell it back to you in pellets so that you can grow those good old, you know, that organic, you know what I mean, tomatoes and carrots and, ooh, so good. Make your best gumbo you've ever had in your life. But the problem was they were going to sell that and put it on golf courses and pelletize it and We were going to make millions. Then you know what hit the fan. Well, they couldn't, as we reported, they couldn't reduce the number of biological agents that were of concern by heating it and what have you in a tropical setting. So no pellets are to be sold. Then they decided, well, we'll give it to the green waste people who in turn would use it and incorporate it into their. Well, that don't work. So now they decide to kill the budget for that $26 million new project, and they're now burning the sludge. See? So they killed the thing. Now, that just means they did not waste your money. That just means that they continue to pay the facility operator for supposedly processing and rendering, dehydrating the sludge, and then trucking it to the H-Power. So if you're driving down there, if you're off the coast fishing sometimes, you get this wonderful smell of Lay's, then you'll understand. Flour's going bad. But whereas the council believed that this contract entered into without regards to Hawaii procurement code. Does that sound familiar? Now, the resolution is actually, I didn't tell you, it was 12-150 CD1. Whereas it is only after city entered into the new agreement with Synagro for the design and construction of the additional digester at Sand Island Wastewater Treatment that Environmental Services notified the council of its plans to proceed with the second digester project. How about that? Whereas when council asked ENV how it was able to continue to fund the second digester project after the council removed the requested appropriations for the project from the executive capital budget, ENV admitted taking funds previously approved and designated by the council for a different project. So you see why EPA rewarding these people for violating the law here, they're not even worried about the city council wrapping their knuckles or prosecuting them for abuse. So they write up a resolution and they ask the auditor to do an audit. So now, whereas, as it relates to what we were talking about, the solar in the same resolution, whereas over the years, similar concerns have also been raised with respect to ENV's numerous contract amendments with Covanta Honolulu to operate the city's waste-to-energy facility, H-Power, and ENV's failure to consider other companies to operate this facility. Whereas, according to the city's Opala.org website, Covanta acquired the operating contract for H-Power in 1993. Whereas Environmental Services and Covanta are currently in the process of building a 900-ton per day expansion of the existing facility, which includes the addition of a third combustor unit or boiler. Whereas Environmental Services continued to disregard the Hawaii Procurement Code by allowing Covanta to expand the H-Power facility before seeking other interested bidders, and continued to extend Covanta's contract to operate H-Power facility over the years. Whereas to date, ENV has made over 12 amendments to Covanta's H-Power operation contract, and whereas some of the contract amendments included increases in the contract amounts. One amendment in 2009 provided Covanta with the ability to receive 15% of the net revenues that the city receives during a billing month from the sale of electric energy generated by H-Power. And whereas Environmental Services has not provided the council with a certificate or documentation showing the increase of over $100 million in contract amount during the periods of June 30, 1997 to March 23, 2004, and March 23, 2004 to February 28, 2008. Whereas the council find that Environmental Services has neither been forthright in its handling of these contract amendments with Covanta, nor in its provision of the documents requested by the council. Whereas the council believes ENV's actions with respect to Synagro and H-Power projects may be symptomatic of other problems within ENV. And what would those symptoms be? Folks, this is a lot of money. A lot of money. I don't know where do you start to fix it. They can't account for $100 million or hadn't provided. Maybe they have now since the raid. But the auditor indicated that they would be doing an investigation. And I'll put that up, post that up too. And it should be coming out. And it says 2015, 2016. And we should be seeing something give here. So there should be something. I can't tell you exactly what, but in July 29th, 2015 of this year, and give you an update on what is, they didn't drop the ball, the auditor. So there should be some sparks flying or some people flying or people vacating their offices or handcuffs or something clicking, because you can't build a photovoltaic building, voltage building, and then in turn say, oh, well, by the way, we're going to process refrigerators and we're going to kill the contract with other vendors and we're going to give it to Covanta just like that. And then there's many questions about the entire application. Now, we actually pulled that application that Covanta Honolulu, it's the name of the applicant, and the basic description of the proposed facility is an indoor-outdoor composting, waste disposal, white goods recycling. White goods, again, being the actual refrigerators and washers, dryers, stoves, and air conditioners. But this July 9th, 2015 letter, in accordance with the city charter, the annual work plan for the Office of Auditor, in accordance with the city charter 3502, we submit to the Honolulu City Council our plan as proposed. Audit the environmental services, wastewater contracts, and procurement practices. Draft report in progress. This audit incorporates audit of environmental service collection and disposal systems in selected consent decree projects. Audit of the city's information technology, security, and risk management. Audit the city's paratransit, and we're going to grab a copy of that, the paratransit documents, for, and that would be under Resolution 1469 FD1, Preliminary Survey in Process, and audit of the Honolulu Rail Transit Project. Those are the things that are in process, projects in process. The charter mandated projects, comprehensive annual financial report, CAFR, financial audit of city and county financial statements for fiscal year 2015, audit by external auditors under OCA contract is underway. External audits include City and County of Honolulu Public Transportation System, bus and paratransit, operations, financial statements, and supplemental schedules, June 30th, 2015. City and County of Honolulu Sewer Fund financial statements, June 30th, 2015. Financial audit of the City and County of Honolulu's fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015 management letter. And then single audit of federal financial assistance program. So it seems that there's a lot of things coming down the pipe. So for those of you out there that like to whine and moan that the media ain't doing nothing, I'm gonna post this up. You can go to carolcox.com and ask yourself, and then you can go online, and they'll have all of this posted. And you can inform yourself. You don't have to wait to Malcolm X or Missy J or whoever write an article for you to break it down. You'll have it at your own disposal. You can have it, and you can interpret it, and you can go to various meetings and talk to people. Don't wait until the people that you claim are not doing the job. You do the job. But spend some time. Unless you just want to be, you know, Pavlov's theory in work. Self-initiated projects, they're taking on those. And this is absolutely, I believe, if we handle this right, and this audit might be revealing. And that would be so, so good. I mean, anyway, 524-1080 is the number if you want to call or have anything you want to talk about on this. I'm basically, we're going to be talking much more about the refrigerant, and I filed a FOIA with the Clean Air Branch, and we'll be looking at their records, and I will also be looking at the, got to go through the application, and then I'll be writing an extensive set of comments for that and asking, you know, how is a photovoltaic system building? What does that have to do with giving someone else a contract? Now, I'm not saying don't use a building for this function. I'm asking the question, how and why do you hand it to H-Power? Or Covanta or Resource Recovery, why would you just hand it to them? And I read these comments in the resolution. They've already expressed this. So if you're being chastised in a resolution and it's sitting there telling you you've been wrong or have some concerns and your operating activities are questionable in the ethics of it, why would you continue? Is it that you have no cause to fear for any of this? You don't. There are no consequences. You're going to keep your job. You're not going to lose any sleep over it because there's no mechanism in place or no politician in place that will hold you accountable as the environmental management, as people like Suzanne Jones and others who guard the gate, Wayne Yamada, Hamada, who's been around there, and it's just musical chairs for people that seem to not get it, because you see Wayne Hamada has been there at the landfill, for example, for years managing that. Wayne Hamada has dealt with the Waipahu incinerator situation. Wayne Hamada, and we've seen atrocious behavior, horrible, horrendous behavior in the management and the handling of this. And wastewater treatment, just constantly. So I really wouldn't be so concerned if there weren't so many millions of dollars. You see, that's what concerns me. We have the sewer fund. We have the bus issues. We have all of that. And then you know that agencies are not spending the federal money. So maybe $1 billion, $2 billion that just drip through our hands and our people that are representing us, and they're passing it on to our officials, and then in turn back through campaign donations. I don't know. I don't want to sound paranoid, but that's what the game is. Now, if you want to follow up on the photovoltaic building, there is a draft environmental assessment for the building for a supplemental environmental project, and I've also posted that online with the CarolCox.com and with other things. And there are endangered species out there in this area. The plants, and they're going to fence it off. But, you know, they talk about open space and all. Do we really need that much system if we're going to squander it? So we give up our lands, and in turn, then we make a little money, But then the money is given to a contractor who clearly you don't require to go through an RFP or you don't advertise it. And so the state health department, and let me make something clear to most of you out there. There is the deadlands or the doldrum, if I can describe it. There's a dead zone that exists within this whole relationship called environmental protection. So a person like myself who has some vague understanding of this, you know, I don't fully understand all of it, you know, but I have a grasp of it. I think I can carry my water. But the state health department, I reported and followed a city supervisor. It was acting superintendent on occasion, a supervisor, and he was cutting refrigerators and collecting metals and aluminum on this job and taking on and selling them on the job and what have you. And I was able to also set up cameras in some the old military housings where in closets where he would, I had learned he would take his air conditioners and cut them, bleed off the gases, and then take the copper and aluminum. And so we set up cameras in this closet where we know he routinely go, and we were able to film him and cutting the pipes and all of that. And he was suspended when time came. He was suspended and was out of a job for some while, and then somehow he went back and they hired him again. And he's currently working. But what we don't know is that dead zone is that the state health department represents that they regulate these things, but the truth of the matter is they do not regulate. They are just receivers and protectors of the front door on these issues, because they can only take and refer it out to the Clean Air Branch, which they didn't do in my case. They are referred to the EPA. The EPA did nothing. And this gentleman was whacking air conditioners and refrigerators to no end. Now we have another complaint before the city, before the state health department. White goods being cut up and placed in the, being dumped into the rear end of a loader and smashed. Refrigerator being smashed and the freons being emitted. So the states, basically, they're not going to do anything. They say that they've asked for documents from the city, but they don't have the regulatory authority. But they won't tell you that. So what I do is I take this information down and then hand it to them. And they pretend that they're going to do something. And it's like it's like giving it to the dog that's trained to hunt rabbits. But really, you're not hunting rabbits. You're hunting wild pig. And they won't tell you. We're not trained for that. We're not experts in that. We don't know. So they guard the gate for the city. They protect the city from, this is a solid waste branch. And, for example, I went in and asked for the environmental impact statement on the photovoltaic building. Have you seen it? Yeah, we've seen it. Does it have in there anything to do with refrigerators? And yes, it does. I think it does. Now, this is a regulatory body. I think it does. Now, you would think it's their responsibility, solid waste management. They would know everything that's coming in there, especially if it's written. So that's one of the things that's plaguing us. I don't believe that we can really call this environmental protection. I don't believe that there's such a thing. I think it's more of masking things and pretending and requiring the city to build in these gas capturing, and they don't. And as I began to say a while back, closed landfills can be just as troublesome as one that is operating. And because all of this material is decaying, right? So regarding the settlement with the Honolulu City County Kapaa landfill matter, I was going to give you this earlier, but this is the Department of Justice and Justice News, Department of Justice and Office of Public Affairs released this, and this is you hear this and you think, and this is all that happens to these people? They have to operate a plant for 3 years, take taxpayers' money and spend it, and nothing happens? So it's titled Settlement with Honolulu to Prevent Hazardous Air Emissions at Kapaa Landfill. Now, when you're recycling freons or gases, you're going to have some emissions. You cannot. There's no system that is completely efficient. So isn't it funny how ironic that you're having to build this building because of Clean Air Act violations, and then as a result you build this new building, and then you're going to go back into and include in that an operation that relates to clean air and possibly violations, because if you ain't got proper certification, my concerns that if the Covanta gets this contract handed to them, then we will not have the guarantee. We will not have transparency because it's locked gates and they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And just like now, we have video of the city workers smashing refrigerator and white goods in the back of their pickup truck, of their trash trucks. The explanation by the state is, well, those guys were not educated, weren't informed that they weren't supposed to do that. You know, it's a great insult when you go to someone and try to educate them about activities that are occurring. And so it's not that they don't know. Give you an example, and I'll get back to this letter. The workers in the city, they're doing what they're legally allowed to do. They can work, call the ukupau. They can go and work on their route, assigned route, and then finish that route or whatever, commit to that route, and then go and they fulfill their hours there and they get their 8 hours a day. Then somehow there's an overtime, or way of getting overtime, and lots of overtime. So you'll see a city truck parked along the street, the rear end loader. And that rear end loader is driven there in the morning, parked, and that crew there's two people on the back and one driver. So they then go off and do their own thing in driving their automated pickup trucks. They finish that route and then they travel back and hop on the rear end loader, then drive it. Now they're going to get tremendous amount of overtime, possibly 8 hours in a 2-4 hour period of time. So they might make 16 hours in a day, or possibly more. It depends. Not speaking to each specific instance, but so they hop on the back of the truck, and they are rewarded by tonnage. It's a weight comes into play. So the video and pictures that we have, for example, they take the truck, hop on the back, two on the back, one driving. They hurry off to a site, to a complex, an apartment, a condo complex, where there's a communal gathering of where everyone piles their mattresses and TVs and refrigerators and what have you. And they go to that because that's a honey hole. They're going to not only not have to go drive all around the community, they can go to the honey hole and load up completely and then hurry off to the H-Power or the landfill, dump that load. Meantime, the two don't usually ride on that route. They may even just go home. They've fulfilled their contractual duties. Or they may hop on another truck, which would be on another route that didn't get service because the city is not paying and hiring enough people. They're busy firing people. And so we got a shortage of people, And then it invites this kind of practices. And I don't see any fault in the drivers because they're only doing what is allowed, what is permitted. But the managers, when you're managing the interests of the public, should take that into account. So it's, we're dripping money just flowing through our hands, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's that bad. We're just bleeding money. And these administrations that come on, we're going to see what's happening with this because the city council people, they have knowledge of this kind of behavior. They did, in fact, write that resolution. And hopefully something comes good comes out of that because we're getting milked. We're getting taken to the laundry. But anyway, back to this. This is kind of scary. Don't want to scare you too much, you folks out there in Kailua and all. But this is from the Department of Justice. Their release: because the decomposing refuse is in a large landfill, generates hazardous air pollutants such as benzene, carbon tetrachloride, chloroform, ethylene dichloride, perchloride ethylene, trichloroethylene, vinyl chloride, and vinyl iodine chloride. The Federal Clean Air Act requires a system to collect and control the gases. The city failed to install and operate the gas collection and control system by its deadline of 2002. The gas collection and control system at the landfill was not in place until April 2013 and is currently operational. But you see, the EPA didn't find anybody along the way. I didn't hear it unless it's a good secret. This settlement holds Honolulu accountable for past failure to collect, control, and control toxic gases, and greenhouse gas emissions from the Kapaa landfill. But it also lays the foundation for better environmental stewardship in the future, said Assistant Attorney General John C. Cruden from the Department of Justice Environment and Natural Resources Division. Residents who call Oahu home will realize the benefits of this agreement, which includes clean solar power production and reduced reliance on fossil fuels for many years to come. But they don't have to operate it but for 3 years. But I guess that's for many years to come. Air emissions from a closed landfill are toxic and can contribute to global warming, said Administrator Jared Bloomfield of the EPA of the Pacific Southwest. If the proper systems had been in place at the landfill, over 343 tons of methane and 6,800 tons of hazardous air pollutants and volatile organics would not have escaped to the atmosphere. Now, if you read what they said in their consent, it kind of leaves you asking the question: which is more accurate? Which is accurate? The comments that they give, because the get this now. Show you why I'm always leery of what is written and what is said. In the release, they say again, and I share this. I apologize if it sounds repetitive, but I want to demonstrate to you why you need to be more concerned and not just take these guys for what they give you, little sound bites. Air emissions from closed landfill, we'll talk. If the proper system had been in place at the landfill, over 343,000 tons, right? 343,000 tons of methane and 6,800 tons of hazardous air pollutants. So that would be just really when they only say defendant admitted approximately in the consent decree 6,875 tons of uncontrolled methane. So where do they get the 343,000 tons of methane in their release, but in their consent decree, it doesn't mention the six. It just says 6,875. So something's wrong there. The consent decree should have had the same language that over 343,000 tons of methane and then 6,800 tons of hazardous air pollution was emitted. But the consent decree doesn't say that. So I don't see it in here. And are they trying to protect the city? The EPA, that is. So there's a lot of questions. So who's going to do what's right if you are able to go unscathed when you do violate? Honolulu is the owner and operator of the landfill encompassing approximately 215 acres that include the smaller Kalaheo landfill. The landfill first received solid waste in 1969 and closed in 1997. From 1990 to 2002, gas recovery systems installed an operated collection system and turbine on behalf of the city for generation of electric energy, gas recovery system. It ceased operation of the gas turbine due to its failure in 2002. Effective gas control at a landfill reduces the release of hazardous... But anyway, it goes on. The solar panels will be installed at H-Power facility, Camel Industrial. The new solar panels will have a capacity of 3.1 megawatts and will generate over 5 million kilowatts in electricity per year, enough to power 800 Oahu households on average. This action will lead to less reliance on fossil fuels on Oahu, but they're only required to operate it for 3 years. So today's proposed clean air consent decree lodged in the U.S. District Court in Hawaii is subject to a 30-day public comment period and court approval and is now available for review at justice.gov ENRD consent. So anyway, boring probably, but I can tell you that there is some serious things going on. I don't believe we have anything that would resemble true environmental practices, even though you and I, the taxpayer, when a project goes in, all of the environmental concerns have to be addressed. All of them have to have, to address them, monies were set aside, taxpayers' money, and all of that, and then they fail to implement them, and then divert monies to other projects, and then we suffer the consequences of having us pay $875,000 to the EPA for them being so grateful, thankful and grateful that we violated the law, but we're going to give them a little money too, and I don't know where to start. But we're going to follow the other projects and the audit. We're pretty excited to see what those are. We're going to see Monday. And if they come in, if they are available this week, we'll post them up. And we'll also talk about them, bring some of it out there at John Nolan's show again on Mondays at 6 o'clock. And John's show is every day from 5 to 7. And then there's Jeff Davis' show on Fridays talking about environmental and solar and other issues at 4 o'clock on Fridays. So do join in and let us know what you think, what you feel. And this paratransit, by the way, I'm finally, I just can't wait to get my hands on that article or that auditor's report, because that has been presenting itself in many ways of who actually owns it, who's making the profits and all of those things. And I think it has something to do with the handy vans And, you know, all of that. So we might have a fun-filled week next week, or if they are available. I got to contact the auditor's office and see. Or if they're going to hold off until the city council actually get a chance to review them. But, again, if you're inclined, contact the mayor and talk to him about it and let him know that we definitely need to have a better government, cleaner government. We do not need these underhanded tactics, and we're going to go from there. So next week, we'll see you, and thanks for listening. And go ahead, caller.
Hi, Carol, real fast. I know you're almost ready to go. But I have my suspicions about the bus. I'm quite a consumer of buses nowadays. And there's a week that passes by that three or four, maybe five buses that were scheduled to be on the route are missing in action. In other words, they're doing that. Then the next bus will be overcrowded, and it's like, you know, I'm just have my suspicions that this is going to the rail. What they're doing is, you know, they're cutting back on manpower. I mean, they save money, so then that's diverted to the rail or whatever. You know, there again, there's no real accounting, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard they blamed it on David Copperfield, said he making buses disappear.
Well, it's really strange, and, you know, there again, you know, the less buses, the less maintenance you have to do, and then the less personnel you have to have,
yeah.
So the less you have to pay, and the more they can divert it to the rail, which is such an investment that they need to get every scrap of money they can, mm-hmm. to, so it doesn't look like, you know, another billion or two or three, or, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And just like the garbage, you know, the trash, and, I mean, all these things that they seem to skimp on, mm-hmm. Doing the job, the bathrooms and the park. I mean, you can go on and on.
Well, if you're spending $16 million to put up a photovoltaic building, where are you getting the money from?
Right. Right.
And if you got to pay that $875,000, and then if you got $100 million that you given in the contracts without any competition or anything, maybe we could have saved a little money, got the job done cheaper. But
So there's a lot of suspicion of how. I mean, who audits this? Who controls it? I mean, who? The city doesn't have really a real auditor, do they? What is that?
Well, you know, we'll see. Well, that's better than a poke in the eye with a stick.
Yeah.
So
I know you have to go, yeah. But good talking.
All right.
You
well, okay.
Fight.
Okay, Dave. See you next week.
See you. Well.
Caller, go ahead with Jacob.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning. How are you?
The objective of anyone's job description or rule of law is to carry out the assignment. And you told me of the discrepancies in the EPA and what they're doing. But I had a conversation with a manager in the district judicial system, and he told me, he's a manager in the district courts. He told me that his staff became dysfunctional. So what they did is they couldn't perform their job. So they brought in some psychiatrists and psychologists because everything was convoluted and was crooked, and they couldn't perform their job. Is this what is happening with the management of what you told me needs to be done with environmental issues? Are the personnel also dysfunctional and cannot perform their job by rule of law as to their job description, the objective of sustaining environmental wellness?
Well, let's not be distracted with the fact that I'm speaking from an environmental stance. It's the same elements You apply the same technique, the same people involved in whether it's affordable homes or transportation or annual budget. You know, so fortunately, I know how to follow the paper trail, and the environmental aspect brings a help me paint a better picture. But it's the institution that is the problem. It's the system that's the problem, not us failing to understand, not citizens. It's just across the board.
Mr. Cox, so if the system is dysfunctional, then they need a programmer to rewrite the program to carry out what they need to do with the system. Is it the system or the personnel?
Well,
in the system.
I say all of the above, but we got to go and see you next week. I'm down in the last second, so we'll talk to you then. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We'll talk next week. All right, please call back. All right, bye.
Mahalo.
Bye-bye.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.